This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Why are AEW's ratings currently on the downward trend? I am Luke Owen, DAD, your Gem That Champion, without my belt, because we're not in the office at the moment due to one of us testing positive for COVID-19. But I am joined by the hardest working person in all of sports infotainment who has just ordered her breakfast.
I have
Denise Salcedo. Denise, what are you having for breakfast?
Okay, sorry. I already messed up my hair for this post show. I'm halfway ordering my meal for breakfast. I only had 30 seconds before we went on the air and I was like, oh, I'll put my phone down.
I said to you, are you ready? And you said yes.
Well,
I could have held on for another 30 seconds.
I wasn't going to make you wait for me to finish ordering my breakfast. Well, here's what happened was that I haven't like woken up this early in a while for these Friday shows. And I've actually been waking up earlier, which is kind of worse because of my flights. They've been leaving like at 6 in the morning. So I'm up like at 3-4 a.m. But for some reason, 7 a.m. was just impossible this week. So I skipped breakfast, which I don't normally do. I don't normally do anything without having breakfast first. So that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to order breakfast and have that like immediately after. But I'm so happy to be back, Luke. It's been, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you and I have not done a show together for a long time. And it's lovely to be back together again. I know a lot of people were excited for the Team Danuk reunion. I was very excited by it.
Were they really? Are you just lying to me?
No, I'm not lying to you. You see, here's the difference between me and one of your other hosts, Denise Salcedo. I don't bully you on air and like make fun of you for things. When I tell you things, I don't like make things up and then make you look. I felt so bad for you and all the step host thing. I was listening to the Fightful show and I was like, I feel sorry for Denise. Knees here. Everyone's being massively unfair.
Right? Right? I had people like they were messaging me and they were like, dude, kudos to you. Props to you for taking that BS. And I was like, okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. But I'm happy to be back. I was gone for 2 weeks because work stuff. And then last week, thank God you gave me Friday off, Luke, because I don't think if I would have had that like one morning off, I don't think I would have been feeling good. Like I was feeling like butt. Like on my post shows, I kept telling people like, if I just like pass the hell out on this show, just continue on. No one will be hosting the show, but you really helped me out there. So thank you.
Well, I also figured as well, like we were discussing 2K22, the video game.
Oh, thank God.
With like Matt McMuscles on the show. And I said to Tempest, I was like, you know, I really want to do the show with Denise, but I don't think she's going to mind too much if she misses this show.
She definitely was not, especially because I was like dying that morning. Well, I was like feeling a little bit better, but I really needed the full like 3 days to like kind of like get a lot better.
I think it was the right move for you not to do the show. Just relax and take care of yourself.
It was.
Similarly, I have not taken care of myself today because I didn't have lunch today because, Denise, I was in a press junket for Spider-Man No Way Home interviewing Tom Holland and Zendaya.
You interviewed Zendaya?
I did.
Was it a video interview?
It was a video interview.
I hate you, Luke Owen. What the frick? What was she wearing? Please tell me now.
Here's what happened. So, all week long, I've been, well, actually, let's say all week, because I found out about this on Tuesday, maybe. It was Tuesday, in fact, because I went to a thing on Wednesday. I have been calling her Zendaya, and everyone else in my office has been calling her Zendaya. I show up for the press junket thing today. It's a virtual like Zoom thing. And they mention her name, Zendaya. And I was like, oh no, I've been saying it wrong in my head. So when we went into the, like on a Zoom junket, the way that it works is you start in one room and then they transfer you to a breakout room. Then they transfer you to the actual thing, right? So you go from like different Zoom calls, right? And when I got in there, I was a bit flustered because I wasn't expecting to be put into the room. They didn't give me a warning to say I was going in. So like my camera wasn't turned on, my mic wasn't turned on. So that was all flustering me. And in my head, I'm like, Zendaya, 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 Zendaya. Do not call her Zendaya. And so it starts and they were like, you know, you need to give your name as well. And I'm like, okay, what am I doing? So I said, hi, it's Luke Owen here from Cineworld. And I'm now chatting with the stars from Spider-Man No Way Home, Tom Dolland.
Tom Dolland?
I was so focused on Zendaya and saying that right, I called him Tom Dolland.
No, Luke, no. But did you at least get Zendaya right?
I got Zendaya right, yes. But by that point, I was like freaking flustered because I called him Tom Dolland. Tom Dolland!
That is terrible. Did he even, was it one of those things where like he noticed or he didn't notice?
I mean, I pointed out as well. I was like, Tom Dolland, that's not your name. Tom Holland. And he was like, yeah, Tom Dolland's the other guy. And I was like,
oh my God. Okay, see, like, here's my trick. Whenever I can't pronounce someone's name, I just start with my questions. And then I pre-record an introduction where it's just me, myself, and I. And I can shoot it like 500 times if I keep messing up the person's names. But Luke, I don't know how to tell you this, but next time that you're interviewing somebody like Zendaya, ask Denise Salcedo, who is Zendaya? I will give you the information. I love that woman.
I know who she is. I've seen
films. I could tell you her pronunciation. I could tell you, make sure to look at what the hell she's wearing because she's a fashion goddess.
She was cool. And they were very fun. Like we played a game together and the game was fun. But
Luke, you don't even remember what she was wearing. Do you have any idea how disappointing that is?
I was focused on getting my game right. And also B, I called him Tom Dolland. After that, I don't remember much else of what happened. I called him Tom Dolland.
Did you black out afterwards? Was it just kind of like...
I was recording something with someone.
You were like, this is Luke Owen and I'm talking it. Here's my question that I had planned. I don't know what's going on.
I recorded something directly after it. So I literally left that and went into a room to record something else. And I'm like, I was talking with my friend. I wasn't listening to a word he said because all I kept thinking I'm playing it back, being like, Tom Dolland. You called him Tom Dolland.
Your career is over, Luke Owen. That's it. You're done.
Right.
Well, I had to tell someone at least laugh a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a couple of hours now. It's been 3 hours. So. Did he laugh
when that whole thing happened?
Yes, I think he sort of did, but I think that he was, yeah. I think it soured the rest of the interview. It's going to have to be saved in the edits.
Just like edit it out. Yeah, edit it out and just get straight to the interview.
Oh, that's a good show. Maybe I can just record my own intro. I'll figure something
out. Record your own intro. That's what I do.
Yeah. Maybe I'll speak to the editor. But anyway, so that I wanted to tell someone, I wanted to tell you, I wanted to tell everyone here.
Don't worry, it happens to the best of us.
One of the biggest actors on the planet, Tom Dolland.
I'm giving you a round of applause.
Thank you.
Because you survived that. But it happens. Honestly, like if you do these like, obviously, press junkets, it's different because they tell you who you're interviewing. But when, like, I've done, like, red carpets, there have been people that I've interviewed where I'm like, I don't know who this person is. I'm just asking them questions. I have no idea who this person is. I've interviewed people who I thought I knew who they were, and they weren't that person. It happens. Oh, yeah. You can't know everybody. However, I haven't had a Tom Dolland issue.
Well, get that on a t-shirt. No one's had a Tom Dolland issue, apart from me.
Forever, everybody watching this podcast is going to see him now as Tom Dolland. He ain't Tom Holland no more.
Yeah. I hope everyone, if anyone's watching this and you do happen to meet Tom Holland in person, call him Tom Dolland for me. Make that mistake as well. Maybe he'll think it's like a normal thing to do.
Is he good looking?
Oh, yeah, he's a handsome chap. Yeah. Well, it's funny. So I forget that he's English. You're so used to seeing him as like Peter Parker, where he's like, gee, willikers, Dr. Strange, we sure are in a pickle right here. The multiverse is coming in. Oh, no, Dr. Strange. You're so used to that. So when you see him, he's like, oh, I'm Tom Holland. Come see the new Spider-Man film. Oh, God, it really throws you off.
Well, I'm looking at it. He's only 25 years old. I don't know that much about him, so.
Yeah, well, his name is Tom Holland. He's a decade younger than I am. Anywho, let's talk.
He's only 4 years younger than I am.
All right, Denise. All right. I'm the old man here. It's fine. Anyway, we're nearly 10 minutes into this show. We've got a hard out as well because I've got to go record Blood on the Clock Tower in a bit. Let's talk about AEW's ratings because last week's number wasn't particularly great. Do you want to are you finishing up your order while I do my spiel?
Yeah, I'm listening to you though.
Yeah.
Was it obvious that I was ordering food?
I mean, you're not looking at the screen, Denise. Pardon me.
I'm looking at my notes. I'm sorry. Continue
on. Good. It's good to have you back, Denise. Anyway, so last week's number weren't great. But then again, it's Thanksgiving week. People weren't expecting it to be a particularly great number. It was sort of about, you know, a less than average episode of Dynamite. And we had messages from people being like, why aren't you talking about AEW's terrible rating? I'm like, that's Thanksgiving week. It's these things happen with Thanksgiving week. None of the numbers are going to be particularly great, particularly on a Wednesday. It's never going to be good. People are traveling, this, that, and the other. But this week's number was lower than last week's rating. In fact, actually, we can look at a graph here. This comes from Brandon Thurston over at WrestleNomics. Please go and follow them on Twitter and on Patreon. But this is what AEW's ratership. So they're the gray line there. So what we're looking at here is this right at the end. There is your Thanksgiving number, and there's the week after that, which is bound from the previous week before that as well. And so the question then comes in. When you have got Bryan Danielson wrestling on the show, when you got CM Punk wrestling on the show, when you have Sting wrestling on the show, and you pull in a number that was 861,000 views with a 0.31 in the demo, both of those were which down. We'll go into those. We'll break that down in just a little bit. In fact, actually, this is from The Observer. Show was down 4.1% in viewers during a week. It should have been way up. And it was down 0.5% in the 18 to 49. Denise, why do you think the rating for this week was low?
All right, so we can't say people are still stuffed from like last week's Thanksgiving dinner.
I guess I don't think we got the Thanksgiving excuse this week.
Yeah, you can't use it this week. But no, in all seriousness, I'll be real with you. I think it's the card. That's my personal opinion. I think that, yeah, you have Bryan Danielson on the card, but how many people are really going, and this is nothing against, you know, Allen Angels, but it's kind of like how many people realistically really do want to see Bryan Danielson versus Allen Angel. So I kind of feel like for me, if it's not a card that has like something like super hot on it, I don't necessarily think people are going to, you know, tune in. Like that would be my thing. Like that for me is part of the reason why I think people aren't tuning in. So there's that. And I'm looking at the card too. And like CM Punk versus Lee Moriarty, like, okay, that was cool for a lot of people, but is it cool for everybody? Or is your casual viewer going to say, hey, I'm going to tune in and watch this because CM Punk's wrestling Lee Moriarty?
I mean, but it's Punk hasn't wrestled in 7 years. Yeah, like as the shine worn off Punk already.
I just think that the shine doesn't wear off. It depends on what the card is. Personally, that's like my opinion. Like, I just think it depends on whether or not somebody really wants to see a certain match or certain matches on the actual show. And for me, it honestly looks like that because like I'm looking at this card. And I'm like, okay, yeah, Darby and Sting, but they're wrestling the Gun Club.
Yeah. I don't want to bury anybody,
but like there's different like levels, you know, is what I'm trying to get at. I think there's different interests, and although certain things might be of interest to like the hardcore fan base or the devoted fan base, I don't think that necessarily means that everybody is like, oh, well, I'm dying to see Sting and Darby versus the Gun Club.
Hey, the Ass Boys were undefeated. Like this was their first loss. It was a big deal.
Yeah. See, like, I can't share that same enthusiasm.
No. Yeah, I'm not really having
like, I'll be real with you. I can't share, like, I can't pretend to be excited about something if I'm realistically not excited about it. And so, like, okay, like, what else? Okay, Cody and Andrade, Atlanta Street Fight. Awesome. That's probably the major thing that I would probably say. Okay, let's tune in for the show for this. But then again, not a lot of people like Cody, man.
Well, it was the highest rate segment on the show. So the quarterly hour breakdown, Cody versus Andrade was 889,000 viewers, which was the peak. The lowest was actually Danielson versus Angels, was 812.
Bam, just proved my own point.
No, do you know what? I'm incorrect. I'm going to change. Sorry, I'm going to edit myself there. I was wrong. It was the second highest rate segment on the show. Punk was the highest rate segment on the show, which was 896,000. Sting's matches was the lowest, which was 852, apart from Danielson. But I think you can always attribute that.
You can't say that CM Punk necessarily lost his shine because people are tuning into this match. That isn't like OMG.
But it's certainly down from, you know, the 1.5 that was there like when he first debuted.
And
Statlander versus Soho did really well. That was 857,000 viewers. It was also the peak with 18 in the women to 49 demo and women in 35-49 and was tied for 18 women 18 to 34. So like that was a big, considering that one of AEW's biggest weaknesses is they can't pull in female viewers. Like that was the match that people tune in. And it always boils my piss when people say you can't, like they don't have enough to have only one match per show. They clearly have and they need this in order to bring those female viewers in. They keep losing.
Oh, they have more than enough women to do more than one match per night. 100%. Okay. Like that's not even arguable. I'm sorry. I know there's people out there that are going to be like, no, because this and this and that. And I get it. Like I still need, you know, I still think that there obviously needs a lot of work to be done with the women's division, but how is that work going to be done if they're not going out there and having these opportunities to go out there and actually have more than one freaking match? So yeah. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and when we were talking about CM Punk, is you're like, okay, well, his numbers were a lot higher in the beginning than they are now, et cetera, et cetera. Well, for me, like, I thought it was like fairly obvious that like when he came in, aside from when he came in, because the debut is always going to be the biggest one, right? But like even the following weeks after, or like a couple weeks after, I think there was a lot of people that were tuning in just to see how AEW plays the CM Punk card. Not necessarily because, you know, hey, maybe they might be AEW fans or whatever. I think that they just wanted to see how AEW was going to be using CM Punk, because that was one of the things that I recall saying on some podcasts, like when CM Punk was about to debut, was like, there's going to be people that are going to tune in that are not necessarily wanting to be AEW fans. They just want to see how CM Punk is going to be used in AEW. What is he going to say? Is he going to throw a shot at WWE? You know, whether you're a WWE fan or not. I feel like there are people that may have tuned into that weren't necessarily, you know, again, looking to be AEW fans.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The punk thing I find interesting. Someone mentioned it in the chat earlier, and I wanted to pick your brains about this and see if you agree with this. And because it reminds me of the Kenny Omega situation that we had when AEW first started. Kenny Omega was telling this story where I'm not the best wrestler in the world anymore. And so, like, the first year we had of Omega in AEW was him just being okay because he was telling this character story. I'm no longer the best bout machine. I'm no longer the cleaner. I'm your average Joe. And Ollie and I used to rattle on about this in the podcast. I used to really annoy Ollie. I was like, I want him to be Kenny Omega. I get that he's telling this story, but I want him to be Kenny Omega. Punk is doing something very similar here. Punk's been gone for 7 years. So he's telling this story, and it's being told very well during this MJF feud, that I have ring rust. I'm not as good as I once was. I am broken down. I'm older. I need to learn. Can I still go? Which means he's having then 11-minute matches with QT Marshall. He's having these slower matches where he doesn't look like he's very good. And that's brilliant from a storytelling perspective. But like you say, if you're a CM Punk fan, you're a CM Punk fan that tuned out from wrestling in 2014, but when he left WWE and you're like, no, screw WWE, I'm with Punk here. And you tune back in, and the Punk that you're being given is, I'm not as good Punk. Like, is that then going to be like, well, maybe he wasn't as good as I remember him being, and now I'm not going to, and now I stop watching. And I'm not saying that is what's happening. I'm just putting it out there as a potential theory.
See, because like, it's the same thing. And again, like, I just feel like there's certain guys, and I'm going to pull up CM Punk and make sure that I like, when you have matches for CM Punk where it's like, guys, it really depends on who he's wrestling for me. Cause like, okay, seeing CM Punk and for example, all right. Okay, Eddie Kingston, that's different. He's a popular guy, so that's fine. CM Punk versus Matt Sydal. Okay, that's something that like you have seen already. Okay, Daniel Garcia and Powerhouse Hobbs and Darby Allin, in my opinion, were the only ones where I was like, all right, this is going to be cool because these are, you know, for me, like if you're going to do it, like if you're going to be seeing the CM Punk that's not having matches against, I don't know, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, etc. I want to see him have matches with guys that are, you know, those up and coming stars, the ones that are so good in the ring where they're like entertaining. Like, I don't care to see CM Punk versus QT Marshall. Like, that was not for me. Like, when they announced that, I was so disappointed. And again, like I like QT Marshall and all of that, but not to be essentially seeing CM Punk versus QT Marshall. Like, that's just like my personal opinion. And so it depends. And I feel bad because like sometimes I feel like people, they don't like to hear that because we have a lot of people that like every single person on the card. I'm like, yeah, I like everybody, but there's different levels to who's a star and who's not a star, et cetera, et cetera.
I like you. When they announced the Marshall match, I was like, it's a weird match to announce. But then it made sense with the MJF promo where he's like, you struggle to beat guys that are lower down the card. And you're like, oh, right. That's why you booked this.
But match. You don't know that going in.
That's exactly it. Right. So from like a ratings perspective, if you're a CM Punk fan, you're like, why the hell am I going to tune in to watch him wrestle QT Marshall, you know, world champion darts player looking dude. Like, he just, you know, it totally makes sense then with why those Punk fans potentially came in to see the debut and haven't stuck around since. What I find very interesting about AEW, though, this is from The Observer. He was comparing the Google search based trends for Full Gear and Survivor Series, and AEW was way ahead, 7.5% ahead in terms of Google searches over interest in Full Gear than there was for WWE Survivor Series, one of the big four. Meltzer notes here, it's the second time in a row that AEW has garnered more interest for its pay-per-view than one of the four big WWE shows that took place around the same time. Because All Out had more search going in for it than SummerSlam.
No, the other WWE pay-per-view. Was it SummerSlam? Okay.
Yeah. because it was All Out and you had the CM Punk debut and this and the other. So I totally get that. And I think it's absolutely, I think it kind of fascinates me then that there is clearly interest from wrestling fans that are more in, like, they're more interested in AEW than they are in WWE, but they're not, it's not converting into viewers.
See, here's the thing too. And this is where, again, I got to go back and blame the card and blame the build, because you had, all right, so comparing AEW Full Gear and comparing freaking Survivor Series. All right, man, I almost feel like I can't compare them. And you want to know why? Because one company put effort and the other did not put any effort. Oh, let's be real.
The golden egg? Come on.
Come on. Exactly. They did not put any effort in building up Survivor Series and making it any sort of, it didn't. Let me really quickly, you know, I like to gauge things on, you know, how my post shows do, how my prediction shows do. And I'm sure you noticed that as well, that there's certain shows that have more interest based on viewerships and comments and interactions. Oh, yeah. Same thing with social media. I tell everybody, like, damn, my Tuesday tweets for NXT be dry as hell. But, you know, hey, I tweet about Dynamite and it's like, God, I'm freaking running, you know, the most popular account. So it's like, you know, there's a total difference in, like, interest in what people like to see. Anyways, but when I did my Crown Jewel prediction show, that one did like 10 times the viewership for my Survivor Series prediction show. Like, seriously, think about that. Crown Jewel getting more of interest. And that show didn't even have that much interest, but it like sweeped my Survivor Series prediction. Ain't nobody cared about that show because nobody had any interest in Survivor Series. And so, like, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking to myself, like, that is freaking crazy if you think about it. Because again, Survivor Series is one of those, I don't think it's a big four anymore, but it's still, yeah. It's still technically, I don't know. Is it not? Whatever. This is arguable.
Yeah, it's sort of seen as one, but I think, like, when they started calling it the Big Five and adding Money in the Bank in there, I was like, I think Money in the Bank has probably replaced Survivor Series at this point.
Yes, it has. It definitely has. And that one's going to, they did the Elite, they're going to be doing it in an Allegiant Stadium. So that's going to be huge for that within itself. But it's like, that's the only reason why I feel like I can't compare those two, because I feel like WWE essentially said, ah, whatever. We ain't going to try on this one. And AEW was like, pushing and promoting and building and doing all of this stuff for Full Gear. And so you have all of this entrance and there's a bunch of matches you cared about on that card. I can't tell you one match that I cared about besides maybe the Charlotte Becky Lynch match on Survivor Series.
As I've just been pointed out in the comments, you did have Tempest on the Crown Jewels prediction video. So maybe that's why it did so well.
There you go. I got to bring back Tempest.
The other thing as well, and this actually, you're almost the perfect person to be asking this question. So on October 25th, TNT decided to move AEW to live on the West Coast. Previously, it had been shown on delay. Now it's being aired live in West Coast and Mountain time zone. I don't really know American time zones.
It's a specific time zone over here for us.
Thank you. So that means the Dynamite in the West Coast now starts at 5 p.m. As someone who lives out on the West Coast, do you think that affects the, I mean, because you can almost see, like, from the time they did that, that's when the ratings start to sort of drift off. Do you think that's had an impact?
Ain't no one home at 5 p.m. Yeah. Like, I'll just be real. Like, well, I mean, obviously it depends on everybody's work schedule, right? If you're working from home, cool, whatever. Pop in Dynamite if you want to watch it. But if you're, let's say you get out at 4 or 5, well, a lot of people get out like at 5 p.m. That's usually the 9 to 5, right? Okay, you get out at 5. Bro, you're going to be in traffic for a long time. You're going to be in traffic at least, depending on your commute, at least 30 minutes to an hour, depending on where the hell you're driving. Ain't nobody getting home at 5:15 to watch no freaking show. With that being said, again, obviously that depends on everybody's lifestyle. But like for me, like, the only reason why I can watch freaking Dynamite on the regular time that everybody watches it is because I got Sling TV to do that. But if it wasn't for that, I would have to wait till like everybody's done watching Dynamite to watch the show. Now, if that's something you're already used to, then that's the time you're going to watch it. I don't know how much that plays into this, but I just feel like if you're already accustomed to watching at a certain time, then that's the time you're accustomed. Like, I remember for years, it took me a really long time to get used to watching Raw at like 5 p.m. because I used to watch Raw at 9 p.m. And that was my norm. Every Monday, 9 p.m., that's when I would hop in to watch Raw. And I remember when I finally was able to watch Raw at 5 p.m., it was like an entirely different world. But keep in mind, I was a student. I wasn't, you know, hard at work. At 3 o'clock, I'm home already for the day. So it's like, I was able to watch that. But if you're somebody that actually works, if you're a grown adult, chances are you're not able to come home at that time.
Well, exactly. And I think if you actually look at the ratings for this week's show, that Danielson Angels match, 812,000 viewers for was the number for that rating. The next quarter, which will the next segment, Punk Moriarty, was nearly 900,000. It's like an extra 100,000 viewers tuning in once you get into a bit more of a, I have now finished work, I have finished my commute, and now I'm home and I'm switching on the TV. Like, I think it is it's a clear point as to why the ratings have dipped down. Actually, if I bring the graph back up, in fact, where's my graph? Like, you can almost see it there from the exact moment that they made the announcement. It's where it starts to drift off. Like, look at that from like the start of October.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. It took me a while. I was like looking out. I was like, what am I looking at?
It's the gray line that we're looking
yeah,
at.
Yeah.
But with that said, so I think there is certainly an argument to be made that the 5 p.m. start time certainly does hurt it on the West Coast. But it was also coming off the back of a really hot show. You talk about like the numbers that we do for our post shows and things like that. The post show that we did for the MJF and Punk segment is the most watched Dynamite show that we have had. Probably since All Out, I reckon, since like the Punk debut episode of Rampage, that was like, it was like 50,000 views for that review. And like Dynamite tends to average between 25 and 30. So there was like nearly double the amount of people tuning in for that show. This week, back to where it was before. So there was intrigue from that episode. And those people that were intrigued by that did not return for this week's one. And I think that's a very, very interesting thing. That's got nothing to do with time zones. That's got nothing to do with Thanksgiving holidays. That's got nothing to do with this, any other. That is specifically to do with interest in the show.
Exactly. That's all it is. Were you entertained? Was this newsworthy? I mean, we all know when it's a newsworthy show, people are going to have more to discuss, more to talk about. Like, not everybody wants to come in to hear a review about just like your random, ordinary, random match, oh, yeah. You know, people want to come in and get thoughts on like, you know, hot stuff that happened on the show, because obviously the more intrigue, the more news that actually breaks or happens during a show, the more interest there is, period. That's that. But
or you have a really controversial take like I had on the Raw poster that we did, which like,
what is your controversial take?
The Miz is all right. He's not that good.
Get out of here, Luke. This is too controversial for me. Oh, man. I was cracking up about that because Edge was all like, I want to wrestle people like AJ Styles. And he mentions Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and all these great people. And then bam, The Miz comes out. I was like, bruh.
Oh, dang. I mean, I'm glad we
get on the same page here. Although that was a phenomenal segment. It was a phenomenal segment.
I didn't like it much.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Oh, I said in the Raw
review. Wait, so in what world did you get The Miz is all right?
Well, it's because so we called the show because of the off the back of MJF is a less famous Miz. We called the show The Miz is a less good MJF.
Okay.
And that really sparked a lot of people. Like, people got really mad at me and my anti-Miz agenda that I've been pushing on this channel for 5 years. Whereas, like, and the reality is, I think The Miz is fine. Like, he is a solid 2.5-star wrestler and has been for the past 17 years.
Oh, lovely. 2.5 stars.
And that's great. Like, that's really good.
2.5 stars is not great.
It's consistent.
No, that's terrible. Okay, good. So we're applauding you for consistently being below average. Yeah, congratulations.
And actually, is bang average. 2.5 stars is bang average. So
I am so happy you do not review my performance every week on this podcast. Like, hey, Ollie, yeah, Denise is great. She is a solid 2 stars.
Oh, no.
Every week consistently.
You're a consistent 4 or a 3.75, maybe.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, lovely.
3.75.
But, I feel attacked now.
So people were like pretty pissed at me for that show. But I thought the segment was like, I said on the Raw review, it was a poor imitation of the Punk MJF segment on Dynamite the previous week.
All right. So I don't even know where to get off of that. So then why did you, I'm just confused as to why you were saying that The Miz was okay. So you were saying like he's okay in like a good way or like a...
Yeah, he's totally fine. Like if you have Miz on the card, you're probably going to get a very, you're going to get a decent match out of him. He's a very good promo. He's very charismatic. He's very good at what he does. You put him out there in press interviews, he can shine. I've got zero interest in watching him wrestle. But if he does, then I know exactly what match I'm going to get.
Okay, I see what you mean. All right, I needed the full entire explanation to understand this, okay? Because yeah. I was about to go off and be like, it's people like you, Luke. That's why we had to sit through The Miz in freaking what? 2021 as freaking WWE champion.
Oh, no, I am not a Miz fan.
I like The Miz outside of what we see on the show.
Rand, probably a nice guy. He's a pretty lovely chap. I've just got no interest in watching him wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to join that bone, unfortunately. Yeah. Sorry. Although that Bad Bunny match was surprisingly one of the best matches of the freaking two-night WrestleMania. Absolutely.
Yep. Match of the week. No, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks was probably a match of that two-night event.
It was up there.
Yeah, it was totally up there.
It was definitely in my top 10. And there was, 14 matches that night.
And that's what I said in the lead up to WrestleMania. I said the Miz is the perfect person to put Bad Bunny in there out because if there's one guy that can carry Bad Bunny to a perfectly fine match, it's going to be the Miz.
Okay. See, I misunderstood all of this. I thought you were basically saying like, oh, the Miz is like underrated. That's what I thought you meant when you said he was okay. I was
if anything, the people that came after me and they've been coming after me all week for it are telling me that he is, quote, one of the greatest of all time.
Luke, if your like head is too shiny on a podcast, people will come after you. Doesn't matter. You can do anything and people will come after you.
Well, let's see what you have got to say about this in your Ultra Chats. You can join the conversation, wrestletalk.com/support. And hey, if you're clicking links, why not click that link for beer52.com/wrestletalk, where you can get yourself 10 free craft beers on us. A delightful offer, delicious craft beers delivered straight to your door. This is your last chance. Tomorrow's SmackDown episode is the last chance you'll get to get this offer of 10 free craft beers. Normally, you only get 8, but with this offer, 10 free in the box. Just got to pay for that sweet post and packaging. UK viewers only. We're better than you and we drink it. Perseus M says, do you think the people who use a VPN and watch AEW through Fight is a significant number? Not that I would do anything like that. No way.
I don't know, man. That seems like too much trouble for me.
Exactly. If it's on TV, like, I don't think that's too much of an issue. Also, if you did watch it through Fight, you missed a lot of the main events because the Fight feed cut out during the Cody Andrade match. So you're better off watching on TNT. New Punk Rant said, I think it's just people are busy. DVR numbers are still really high. I don't think anyone should panic because AEW is putting on a good product. Also, can't wait for the end of year show. Hashtag stay juicy. Hashtag hoopy fan for life. Yeah, I don't
people
think anyone's
doing holiday shopping. People doing holiday shopping around that time. Not really. Well, no.
I'd also say as well, I don't think anyone is questioning AEW's the quality of the product. I think it's just, I find it very interesting to see like why they keep putting on a consistently good product and people are clearly interested in it and then they just never show up for shows. I find that to be very interesting and I'm curious to hear from those
people. People live interesting lives, Luke. Like here's one thing that I've learned in life. Like I used to think like growing up, everybody lived a relatively similar life to mine. I don't know why I thought that. I thought that everybody did the exact same things. And then I grew up and I was like, these people live some crazy lives.
Their knees. You take a few weeks.
I'm sorry. I forgot the rules. You see what I mean?
This is no Fightful show around here.
Ordinary person just came out and dropped the S word. Nope, apparently not.
Come on now. You're not on Fightful now. Ben Schofield said AEW cards have matches that go on too long. Full Gear had an insane amount of matches that were 20 plus minutes. It's great for hardcore fans, but I don't think casual fans have the patience for that. They need to cut some matches down. Oh, I mean, Ben, I'm going to massively disagree with you here. They need to cut down some matches unless I'm misreading. They need to cut some matches down like Punk Eddie. I'm trying to work out whether you're saying they needed to cut that match down.
I get what he's saying because I was sitting in that crowd. And when they started such a high point with Darby and MJF, that was so good. And then, like, I didn't think Miro Bryan Danielson needed all of the time that he got. Like, bro, I was freaking exhausted. And I was, like, at the top of the show. I was, like, the second match or, like, the third match, whatever. And I was just like, oh, man, this match is taking forever. Like, I remember thinking that as I was sitting there. And I remember, like, looking around and everybody kind of had, like, the same face I did where they were like, this is taking a little while, you know? So I get it. Not every match needs to go whatever length that it goes. You know, they can trim some down. It's okay.
T1 match did not need to go long was that friggin' tag match with Cody and Pac versus
I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that. I love the length for that. And you want to know why?
You want to go food?
I went to go get food. I came back and, like, I think I was like not like halfway through the match, but like I had enough time during the entrances to go upstairs, get food. I had a slow ass person working the cashier thing and they were like super slow and I still made it back on time to watch the rest of the match. So I can't complain too much on that one. They gave me a break to go get food.
Charles Berg said, as I said yesterday, the cracks are showing in AEW. When it was early on, people would get over easily. We could only focus on the sunny side up. But at this point, I haven't been very critical on the program, but AEW needs more egg. It will bring in the viewers.
Dude, that egg, man. People were talking about it.
It made you watch Red Notice.
It did. Well, I mean, I was going to watch it anyway. I tend to watch all of the Rocks movies. I'm a mark like that. I'll watch all of the Rocks movies. But yeah, I started thinking, I was like, you know what? Let me watch this Red Notice stuff.
So we've got our end of year awards form out at the moment. So like all of our on-screen talent, our editors, our website writers, the extended WrestleTalk family, like yourself and Sean and Chris Van Vliet and Going in Raw and everything like that, Crime Pooh Bear. And on that, for the first year, we're doing worst pay-per-views as well. We're doing worst pay-per-views and worst matches as voted for by us and by some of our Patreon backers, this and the other. And currently leading the charges is Survivor Series. Survivor Series is currently like leading the charges, like the worst pay-per-view of the year. And I'm puzzled by that. Then the only reason I'm puzzled by that is because I look back at the live reactions that we did and we had so much fun watching that show because a friggin' egg was the main storyline. And Vince McMahon, they were like, I've got this egg. Give it to me by The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And Roman Reigns is now in here. And I've got this egg. Someone has stolen my egg. And I want everyone on Raw and SmackDown on the show. And I was like, this is the greatest storyline they've ever done. We were in fits of laughter. And all this egg stuff. So I can't in good faith nominate it as one of the worst shows of the year because I had too
Here's
much
the difference,
fun
Luke. That. You had friends and you're watching the show with friends. When you're watching the show by yourself and you're thinking, Jesus Christ, I'm watching a show about an egg. What's my life gone to? And then you're sitting there, all of a sudden you're not watching Survivor Series anymore. You're evaluating your life's decisions and how you got to this point in time.
Rangers Mayhem said the issue with the ratings is that AEW is currently on at 5 p.m. For European viewers on the West Coast. Or is it currently on the West Coast? I would worry that the ratings are the same after the TBS move and the time slots go back to normal. That will be very interesting. Redmond Survivor, this year's Dynamite Thanksgiving episode was up in the ratings from the 2019 and 2020 Thanksgiving episodes. That is clear year-to-year growth. Also, let's not forget Dynamite isn't airing in the usual West Coast slot until January. AEW is fine. Punk Rocks and Soda, I'm trying to say this with as little bias as possible, but I don't think last week's closing segment hooked people. Not a fan of Cody, and honestly, if I wasn't super into Paige, Danielson, and Punk, I wouldn't have tuned in this week.
Yep, I told you. Cody's got some heat, man. And it ain't just the flames from that table.
The Shadow Ranger said, the big name signings like Punk, Danielson, and Cole all fall into the category of their fans were already watching AEW. They need to sign talent that will appeal to people that don't already watch.
Wait, so they're saying that Punk Danielson can't appeal to people that aren't watching?
Their point is that their fans, the fans that they would have brought into the product, were already watching the product already. So they're not bringing in new viewers. They're just bringing in, they just got the same viewers that are already there.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one because I think that CM Punk may have brought in some new viewers to AEW. Maybe not new, obviously not new wrestling viewers, but new AEW viewers. I do think that Bryan Danielson may have too. Maybe to a lesser extent, Adam Cole, but them too, just a little bit more because they were, you know, big stars in WWE.
Also, I think the casual fan is a hard beast to crack.
Dude, the casual fans out there having a life, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's so interesting to me because, like, I always, you know, we always talk about like the kids, right? And like a younger demo coming into and watching wrestling. Okay. Now I have like tons of like young kids in my family. I'm talking like 18, 16, 15, so many of those teenagers that, you know, those are the people that you want to bring in. I can tell you that wrestling is probably the last thing on their radar behind the dumbest thing that you can think of. Wrestling is way behind there. It is nowhere in their radar. It's just not, it's not the level of cool that it used to be. And every time, like when I see what like my siblings, my cousins are into and what they're watching, I'm just thinking to myself, damn, everybody doesn't get the freaking young dad. Even me, like I watched some of the stuff that they were interested in because they were making me watch YouTube videos of like these YouTubers that like chug beans and weird stuff like that. And I'm like, this is what you guys watch? And they're like, yeah, we love this stuff. And I'm like, the frick? I'm like, NXT 2.0 is over here trying to get the younger demo. And this is what the younger demo is actually watching. It's crazy.
So like, you're
saying they're not interested in wrestling.
So what you're saying is they need to have Bron Breakker chugging beans.
Yeah, they literally, that's how you get the viewers, man. Don't tell me, like, if you don't believe me, go ask, like, whatever you're, like, whatever teenagers you know, go ask them what the hell they're into, and you'd be very surprised. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was astonished.
New Punk Rants said, wrestling fans are fickle and have a WWE mindset to only care about three people and not be open to newer wrestlers. Fans complain about watching new stars, but resist the work being done. AEW is a variety show and fans want less variety. It's WWE logic. I don't know if I fully agree with that, but I appreciate the message. Jonathan Hedman said, I think you're right that people aren't liking the way the Punk story is being told. He seems to be having the Cena-style matches, get beaten up for most of them, and then wins. CM has become Cena match Punk, in my opinion. And that's the fact, I think it's so interesting, because it's done on purpose. It's really been, like, he is having those styles of matches on purpose. And I think some people are just not behind it.
And that's fine. I don't think you got to be behind everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of, like, people not being able to say, I don't like this. Like, I'm a fan, but I don't like this. It's okay to not like the direction in which something is going in. You don't got to like every single thing that every other person likes. And like, everybody sitting here watching the show probably can think of something that was super popular that they just didn't get, that they just didn't like, they couldn't get behind of. And it's fine. That's what entertainment is. It's going to be entertaining to somebody and entertaining not to other people. That's perfectly fine.
Like, for me, I didn't get the hype for Lord of the Rings.
I was thinking more of like wrestling. Although I only watched Lord of the Rings because I had the biggest crush on Aragorn. Viggo Mortensen. Thank you.
I'm a nerd.
Oh, I had the biggest crush on him. He was the only reason why I watched Lord of the Rings. And once I got enough of it, I was like, I'll just download his picture on the internet.
Nicholas Wong said, I think the rating dips is because there's too much wrestling and not enough egg. For real, though, I think the special episode and pay-per-view would be better indicators of interest. Curious about when Dynamite moves to TBS and how that will affect ratings. I think the Winter is Coming episode, even though the Winter is Coming episode does feature Wang Man, is going to do a pretty decent number.
I love Wang Man, man. Oh. Wang Man rocks. Wang Man.
I was so... Denise.
I'm sorry again. Oh my God. I'm not meant for family. Can our Friday show just be like the TV 14 show?
Mature rating. It's YouTube, it's not me. Ben Schofield. For clarification, I meant more matches needed to be the Punk Kingston length. That's very nice. The multi-man tag matches are too long, too messy, and their cards are too much. I think they just turn off a lot of new viewers to the product. Keep up the great work. So that's an interesting product. Are AEW Dynamite matches too long? And that, if you are a new viewer coming in, is that what's turning you off? You disagree?
No, I disagree. I like, as long as the match is good, it's fine. If you have a match that's going on way too long.
Denise!
Damn! Oh my God! I'm sorry, Luke. I'm very, very sorry. Damn, that's three. Wait, does damn count?
No, damn's fine.
Okay, that's three. I'm sorry. Sorry. My apologies to the viewers. What was I talking about?
I don't know.
If the match is mediocre, please trim it down. But I want to watch good wrestling on my TV. But there you go. I'm going into these shows hoping to watch good wrestling. It depends. There might be somebody coming in here that's like, nah, I just want to see funny stuff.
I missed a comment as well. Someone pointed out as well, like, why is Luke calling people who like Lord of the Rings nerds? He's got Ghostbusters on VHS tapes. Like,
yes, yeah, please.
That's the joke, you see. Peter Mullen said, I think the numbers are impacted by the younger audience. Think of the average viewer as the ratings tellers. WWE's 62-year-old viewers will be at home on Thanksgiving. Younger people, not so much. Don't you worry about the swearing, Denise. You have till 5, referee.
Thank you. Also, I don't know because it depends. What age are we looking at? Younger audiences are at home with their family. So if anything, they're probably watching whatever their families are watching for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Like when we come around to Christmas, like I don't get to pick what's on TV, although I do this year because we're in my house. So we'll watch whatever is on. But also, you know, generally what the consensus is watching. What do we all fancy watching? People want to watch the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special. Grand, I'll sit there and I'll endure it for the hour that it lasts. I
don't
know what that is. It's a TV show in the UK that I think is pretty dross. But people love it, and that's fine. Like, my wife loves it, and my sister-in-law thinks it's tremendous. I think it's pretty dross. And because I think James Corden is a prick. Hello.
I sent you that meme where it's how British people see James Corden, how Americans see him. I thought that was hilarious.
Hello said, wanted your opinion on a discussion I had. Is Gargano a must-have for AEW? Do AEW need to sign Kevin Owens, Keith Lee, Kyle O'Reilly, Sami Zayn, and Gargano? Disagree with you. I disagree with both and feel that they can get two of them with tons of ROH talent there to sign. So do you think if Gargano does go, is he a must-have for AEW?
I would say this is how you look at it. Is he a must-have in the sense of I feel like the way the question was asked was, is he a must-have because he's that kind of a talent? Yes. Is he a must-have because AEW can't survive? No. We can't survive without him? No. So I feel like there's two different answers depending on how exactly that question was meant to be asked. Secondly, here's the thing, though. I will tell you this. I feel like there's a lot of guys that may have been brought into AEW in the beginning that, like, now you got to... With all of the releases and all of this influx of talent becoming available and all of that, if you were just getting by in AEW by doing the bare minimum or not necessarily, I feel like now the certain spots aren't that safe anymore is what I'm trying to get at. Like if you were necessarily not, like there's some talents where if I were them, I'd be a little bit worried about my spot because now you have more talent that may be a little bit more talented coming in or at least being available to come in. So you got to think about it that way too, where it's like, you know, I don't know how to say it. There's more talent that's available right now.
Marcel Art said, it's funny. At the moment, I wouldn't go to a WWE show if it was in my hometown here in Germany. But if AEW is coming to the UK, I will. Question, what is your favorite snack and drink for watching wrestling? Much love, stay healthy.
Oh man, last night, I'll eat anything, but last night I overdid it and I wasn't even watching wrestling. You know what show I was watching, which is pretty good. So I probably suggest it. Okay, it was the Sex Life of College Girls on HBO Max. I thought it was going to be a terrible show. Oh man, I binge watched it the entire night last night. But I had,
I'll be honest, Denise, it sounds like a Pornhub category.
But it's a good show. There's a lot of drama in it. It's that person's sleeping with that person didn't know. This person's living a secret life, the identity crisis, all that drama. I like that stuff. Anyways, but for wrestling, I'd probably say whatever's in the house. Goldfish, Hot Cheetos, ice cream. I don't really like ice cream, though, but it's always in the house.
We don't tend to eat, because obviously I watch wrestling when I'm live streaming it. So I don't eat then because otherwise I'm just eating on camera. And I believe it's called a mukbang. And I don't think that's the sort of demographic that we're appealing to. So I don't really eat when we're doing live streams. I might have had pizza or something. But yeah, back in the day, we used to just get a load of fried food.
Cookies.
Yeah, cookies, I guess. Sweets. Yeah.
I go with whatever's in. But here's what I've noticed, though. The word three out raw for me is the one where I'll snack the most. I don't snack during NXT or AEW or SmackDown sometimes. But Raw is the one where I find myself snacking the most because it's 3 hours, okay? And I notice that when the show is not good, I tend to go to the kitchen more often than if the show is good. I'm too busy like tweeting and talking about the show that I don't have to go out and snack. The second I have a moment to think, I should go check the refrigerator. That's a bad sign.
As for drink, it's usually a bev, usually a beer. Beer52.com, in fact, when we're watching live streams. And if I'm watching, when I'm watching Raw and Dynamite and anything like that, that I've got a review in the morning, it's a cup of coffee because I'm watching it at 6:30 a.m.
Beer 52 for me too.
Thank you, Denise, even though it's only in the UK. Christian says,
hey, yay guys, for the sponsors, man.
Christian says, yay for the reunion of Team Danuk. Luke, please sing Reunited and it feels so good. I'm just glad to see the return of Denise. Step host Salcedo, how are you doing, Denise? I hope you're well. I also chatted last week about you and the step host business.
My goodness.
We had a guest on last week. We had Matt McMuscles on the show last week.
So he was probably like, what the hell is going on here?
Right? And so when a question came in about step host, me and Tempest, we knew what the question was, but Matt was just there looking very puzzled.
Somebody tagged me in something, and I don't understand what was happening, but somebody formulated some sort of theory about me.
What?
Here on Wrestle Talk.
Oh my God, that was me and Adam.
What the hell was this theory?
What was our theory?
Because somebody said, I agree with the theory. And I was like, what theory? Yes. What are you guys talking about?
I remember now. So me and Adam did the mailbag show because you weren't well last week. So yeah. Me and Adam did it instead for Patreon. And we came up with a theory, but I cannot remember what it was.
What do you mean, man? Like a theory?
And we were joking around as to like why you didn't want to do the show or something.
Oh,
and it was something along those lines. It was really good. I cannot remember what it was.
Well, it wasn't that good if you can't remember your own theory.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I very much enjoyed Adam's theory about your nan, your grandma.
Oh yeah, I told her that. By the way, she got really mad. Like, shoot mad. She was like, in Spanish too. She was like, "How could you think that about your great?" I was like, "I don't even know my great great grandma." Damn, she was so mad, Luke. She was like, "Don't even say that. Don't even put that out in the universe." I was like, "Why am I getting in trouble?" Adam said it, not me. Adam pissed off my grandma.
Marco Dominguez says, what are you doing with the Wang Man step host? Love you guys. Great discussion today. Dan Russell said, hey guys, great to hear from you. Denise, damn that mouth of yours. AEW needs to get more punk rock. Punk needs to be the voice of the voiceless and violent. Adam Page needs to be a HBK 95 style champ. I fear with a lull in interest. I don't think there's a lull in interest in the show. That is the one thing I would definitely say. I also think the last thing we need is for Adam Page to be a HBK 1995 champion. The last thing we need is for Adam Page to go full Shawn Michaels in this situation. late 90s Shawn Michaels. That's the last thing we need.
Damn. I can't argue too much with that.
It's not great. Amir said, I think there's a direct correlation between the start of the rating decline and the start of the NBA. Dynamite's competing directly with the NBA on ESPN. I consider myself a casual fan who is choosing the NBA over Dynamite. Amir, usually you are right, but just go back to my notes here. That Dynamite, the episode last night, didn't have a big NBA competition. The NBA match that it went up against placed 74th. In the overall ratings. So they didn't actually face any, there was no competition from the NBA last night. It was a disappointing number for the week. And lastly, Jonathan Hedman said, few more thoughts. I got it, AEW needs better ratings. Is it more cowbell? Also, why isn't War Games on Wrestle League? Can we have Potty Mouth Denise on the After Dark show? Oh, I'd love to have Denise on Wrestle Talk After Dark. That'd be great.
What is the After Dark show?
So After Dark is a patron show that we do where we basically just drink together and we talk about stuff.
Unless it's Beer 52. Hold on.
And we talk about things that aren't wrestling. And we talk about everything else.
So we nerd stuff.
It's not necessarily, I mean, it tends to be a lot of nerd stuff. A lot of board
game
chat.
See, I can't take part in that.
A lot of D&D chat.
I'm out. I cannot. No nerd stuff allowed.
No, it's fun though. We have a very nice time with it.
I'm going to be there like, yeah, D&D rocks. Good for you guys.
It is. There was a point to, we did an After Dark a couple of months back. It was me, Pete, Abby, Andy, and someone else on the show. It might have been Tempest. And me and Pete Quinnell went on a 10-minute chat just talking about speedruns, like speedrunning video games and watching Games Done Quick and the summer Games Done Quick events. And we were just chatting for ages about this. And like the other people looked so bored as we were chatting about
speedruns. I'm bored hearing the synopsis.
It's more about speedrunning Mario 64 blindfolded. We were like, wasn't it cool? Wasn't it so awesome the way that he did it? And everyone was like, I don't care. Me and Pete had a great time.
Yeah, I can't. No, do not include me in this After Dark stuff. Unless you guys want to talk about, I don't know, something else.
We could talk about Mariah Carey tracks if you'd like.
I already did that with Will.
I know. Well, you also did that WWE WF album without me as well.
I'm very sorry. I apologize.
So mad at you for that. J.S. Wooten lastly said, the IWC always has these end-of-year AEW freakouts. It's nonsense. Ratings are fine. Dynamite is going TBS, and watch the turnaround. Let's all remember Cutler's bad punches that were going to sink AEW 2 years ago and what happened next. J.S. Wooten, I don't think anyone's freaking out. No one is freaking out about
it. I was going to say, who's just freaking out? Like, I'm not freaking out.
We're having a discussion about it. It's an interesting topic to talk about, and that's what we're doing. That's the big the big selling point of the Rust Talk podcast and particularly the Team Dynamic Show. We have discussions about things. No one's freaking out about the ratings. TNT wanted AEW to do 500,000 viewers and above, and it has done that since day one. And they're not worried about the ratings. I don't think anyone's worried about the ratings.
I'm pretty sure there are fans out there, like any fan, like AEW or WWE fans are like, damn it. These goddamn ratings.
Goddamn ratings.
Honey, I can't have dinner today. I'm too upset about these ratings.
Well, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. Denise Salcedo, what have you got coming up? What would you like to plug?
Yeah. Okay. So I got a couple of things. First and foremost, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Head on over there. Lots of content to watch. Speak Now Pro Wrestling on F4W Online Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Friday. Twitter and Instagram @_Denise Salcedo. I'm about to hit 50K on Twitter. So please help me out on that end. And then December 11th, I'm going to be doing commentary again for Mission Pro Silver Bell. So you guys can watch the show on titlematchnetwork.com.
On the your note of your Twitter followers,
yes.
I can't remember which pay-per-view it was during. It might have been like Money in the Bank or something around those lines. It was earlier on this year. You weren't on the show with us. And someone was like, you were trying to get like to a certain amount of followers before your birthday, I think. And I made a joke on the show that like, Denise can't even get Twitter followers. Like she's begging for Twitter followers at the moment. Because I had more Twitter followers than you did at that point.
Yeah. I had.
You like massively eclipse me now. In terms of Twitter,
I don't want to like, I don't want to put myself over, but I eclipse people working for big giant companies. I eclipsed a lot of people. I don't know, like nobody's talking about the fact that I had 10K around this time last year, and now I'm literally at almost 50K. You want to know what that's called? Hard work, Luke.
Hard work.
And making a lot of people mad on Twitter.
Hardest working person in all the sports.
I outshined people that are considered more famous than. I don't consider myself famous, but there are people that are famous that I have more followers than now. Well, I was pretty proud of that.
You're just likable, Denise.
And I give people free stuff.
Yeah, well.
No, but I do a lot of work on that damn Twitter channel. I mean, Twitter page.
It's so funny because like I made that joke and it was a joke because I don't
Where
really,
are you
I,
at now?
I'm like 30,000 or something.
Baby and stuff. Like,
but do you know what the funniest thing is there? I was at about 20,000. 5 years ago, and like it's grown nothing in 5 years. It's taken me about 2 years to get to 30,000. Like to go from 29 to 30.
Luke, oh no, we need to sit down. I don't talk about this. Yeah,
I don't tweet about wrestling enough. I think that's the problem. And then I do tweet about wrestling, and people get real mad at me for it, and then I get exhausted.
Why?
I said MJF's no good, and people got really mad at me, and it's exhausting being tweeted by people who don't follow you that I'm an idiot. I don't want to spend my time with that. I've got better things to be doing with my life.
Just don't look at those comments.
What? It's hard that they show up in your mentions.
They're all over my feed. I just don't look at them.
Just don't look. Just don't look. Anyway, thank you, Sean. Luke has reached his ceiling. I think I have.
You peaked?
I peaked. Peaked way too soon.
I'm very sorry about that. My goal for... Okay, so my goal for the end of this year is 50K. My goal for the end of next year is 100K.
Oh, well, we'll all help you get there, Denise.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for watching. Thank you again to Beer 52, our sponsor for this week's show. Click the link in the video description down below and get yourself 10 free craft beers. I'm off to go play some board games now, and I'm very, very excited about it. Thank you all so much for watching. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.